Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, do me a favor real quick. Don't forget to share and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. There it is right there on your screen. Man, I'm excited to be here today. I really am. And this is going to be an amazing episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If it is Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, you know that TMG, we're streaming live, man, and I'm excited to be here. If this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time listening to the show, let me take this moment to tell you thank you. Is that I appreciate you for showing up today. Now, if this is your time when you said, Travis, man, I've been watching and listening to your show ever since it's been on. If you have, I really appreciate you. Keep coming back. Thank you so much. And whether you are listening in Canada, or maybe you're listening in Portugal or Spain, or maybe you're listening in South Africa or in the UK or Germany, wherever you are listening around the world, let me take this moment to tell you thank you. And guys, you know how we do it. Before we go any further, before I get started, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, everybody, I'm just excited to be here tonight. So glad everybody's joining in. And whether you're watching this right now live on Facebook or on YouTube or X or LinkedIn, wherever you're tuning in, thank you so much. Or maybe you'll listen to this later on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio, wherever you are, thank you, guys. This week, man, has been an amazing week. It's been absolutely great. I'm going to go ahead and get started, guys. Everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you would like to tell, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. You said, well, Travis, I know someone that has an amazing story that would be great on your show, but I didn't want to come on the show because I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Drop us an email anyhow at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You can even remain anonymous if you like. So there you go. You don't have to even come on the show. I appreciate it. Everybody knows that this show has a few affiliate sponsors. I'm going to play that information by our sponsors. And guys, do me a favor. The sponsorship information is in the chat. I want you to use one of those links visit our sponsors and get some great deals. Yeah, you can do that. So after this, we're going to come back and we're going to get started. Don't go away. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for being here. I'll be back. Don't go nowhere.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
There it is, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors, guys, of the show. If you're wondering what's behind me, guys, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And all of this month, we have had special guests come on and talk about the importance of mental health, of our mental health. And taking care of our mental health should be a priority. In the same manner we prioritize our physical health, mental health conditions can cause difficulties in all aspects of life, including relationships with family, friends, and community. According to the CDC and the World Health Organization, every one in four people suffer some type of mental health issues or varying degrees and intensity. Now, around the world, that's more than 792 million people have been diagnosed with mental health disorders or illnesses. Recognizing we need help is not always easy, but it pays off in the long run. If you feel you need help, reach out to a mental health professional in your area. You can call or text the National Crisis Hotline at 988. Guys, if you did not catch the title of tonight's episode, let me go ahead and put that up, guys. Tonight's episode is entitled... Yeah. Let me say it again. It's... Yeah. Tonight's episode is entitled that. Guys, there are all kinds of secrets. There are secrets of all kinds. We have secrets on our phone. We have a security code on our phone because we want to keep things secret. We have passwords for our email because we want to keep things secret. There are all kinds of secrets around the world and all kinds of things that we want to keep hidden. There are all kinds of secrets. Come here. Come closer. Can you keep a secret? Some people can easily keep a secret, while others, as the saying goes, can't hold water. You know a few people like that? I do. There are all kinds of secrets. Secret recipes, secret ingredients, and so on. But not every secret deserves to be safeguarded. And although mental health issues impact millions around the world, is for the most part kept a secret because of the stigma that comes along with it. Our guests today are therapists that have agreed to come here today and to shed light on this supposed secret. Guys, do me a favor. Please join us and give a huge TMG welcome to Rakita Jackson and Shalisha Curry. Guys, what's up? How y'all doing? So glad that you guys are here. What up?
Hi, what's up?
Man, I'm excited that you're here.
Look, just I feel that sentiment. I am right there with you, brother.
It's been good. Shalisha, I know this is your first time here. How you doing?
I am excited. and nervous all at the same time. But the excitement just to be here, I feel, you know, very honored to be on the TMG podcast.
So. Woo! Did y'all hear that, man? She even called it out, TMG. Look at that. I love it. Well, this is going to be an exciting episode. I know I've spoken with both of you guys concerning it. And you both was like, oh, wow, this is going to be good. We need to have an open discussion about it. We need to have an open discussion about things like this. I think more open discussions like this will really help everybody out. Now, what I'm getting to understand is it's an honor to have each of you joining. I'm excited about today's topic, today's episode that we're going to discuss. Now, for the longest, mental health and mental health issues have been kind of a long-kept secret. One of those things you don't talk about, you know, one of those things you don't really mention a whole lot. You don't hear it a lot in a lot of communities. You don't hear it in a lot of cultures discussing it, especially in the African-American communities and cultures. It's not something that's talked about at the dinner table. It's not one of those, you know, things you kind of bring up. It's one of those, well, we know, but you don't know. You don't say anything. Kind of one of those things. It's kind of just a long kept secret, and to most part, people just they deal with it in silence, and to drag it from the shadows of conversations into light. And I think dragging this thing out of the shadows of those conversations, where well, you talk about it only in a room, you know, you don't have it, you know, it's not one of those things you talk about in a family room. Right. You say, excuse me, you go in the room and talk about it, or you go downstairs and talk about it, and you only talk about it around certain people. You don't talk about it around the people who might need it. You don't talk around certain people get involved in that conversation. So today, guys, we're here to shed light and drag this thing out of the shadows into light. So I'm just going to just ask both of you and give both of you a chance to weigh in on this one, because this is a good one. What would you guys say? Since it's such a huge secret, or people is kept secret for some reason, what would you guys say are some contributing factors about the topic of mental health that impacts so many people worldwide that has allowed it to become so successful and hiding in secrecy? What is this thing impacts people worldwide? 792 million people worldwide, but yet it has been so successful in hiding in secrecy. What would you say, you know, has been allowed this thing to be so successful in this? Rakita, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
What would you say has helped this to be so successful in just hiding in secrecy, but 792 million people worldwide?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say that the mental health is the new term. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what everybody is taking hold to, is embracing mental health awareness, mental health.
Right.
But what people have been hiding from is the mental illness.
Mm, say that. Come on. Say years, that.
We haven't even acknowledged it as an illness.
Yes.
It's always been, oh, they crazy, or mm-hmm. they're they ain't got, you know, they mind bad.
They touched.
Yeah, something wrong with them. They've been like that their whole life. And the realization of it is mental illness is a true illness. It is a chronic medical illness. And once we get to the point where we can accept that mm-hmm. and acknowledge that, then we can embrace the concept of mental health and wellness.
Wow, you dropped the mic on that part right there, and you are so right. You can go on any social media platform, hear the news, and it's always mental health. No one even acknowledges that it is an actual illness. Mm-hmm. That is something, that there is something behind the health. There is something that's happening behind the mental health part. When Rakita, you dropped it on that. Shalisha, I need to hear you. I got to hear you weigh in on this. 792 million people worldwide deal with this. and it seems like a big secret. What do you think are some things about it that help contribute to this thing being a secret like this?
I think y'all hit it on the head. Even your title with being shh, because what we know, like especially in African-American communities, our family upbringing and beliefs are like what happens in the house stays in the house.
Man, oh God.
And so yes, we sweep everything under the rug until we have that one family member who kind of trips over the rug and then exposes everything. And then they're the black sheep. And then we start saying, oh, they've been crazy, or they've been had that problem, or something's wrong with them. I think it starts from our family upbringing that we have to be hush hush about it and we can't speak about it. And we're not seeking outside help from people that can actually help the family unit. We're keeping it in the family, and it goes generational secrets. So I carry it, my kids carry it, they teach their kids to carry it, and it just becomes a generational family of secrets until somebody dies. And then all the secrets are exposed.
Guys, I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing. Shalisha said it's a generational secret. It's something that passed down. You knew your uncle had something going on with him. You knew your cousin had something going on with him. And what we do, we just lock them up in the room to themselves, turn the TV on, and let them just watch TV all day long. And we tiptoe past the room. We tiptoe. And if there's another way, go around the room. We don't even go past the room. But we tiptoe past it. And what we have been doing, guys, is we have been tiptoeing past this issue. Shalisha said, we sweep it under the rug, Rakita, until you no longer can hide it under the rug, until somebody just trips over the rug. And everything that we've been sweeping under the rug all these years, what your mama swept under the rug, what your grandma swept under the rug, what your cousin swept under the rug, what Junebug put under the rug, now all that's on top of the rug.
And then what happens in that situation, and what Shalisha and I see quite often, is that we go so long trying to avoid it that it gets to the point that it becomes out of control. And it spirals to the point where, number one, and I don't know if it's that we don't, I can't even say anymore that people don't know how to get help or where to get help.
Right.
Because social media is right there at our fingertips. Google is right there at our fingertips. And we can Google like hairdressers and where to get our nails done. And
where can't go eat?
But why can't we search, okay, feeling stressed, feeling depressed, you know, where to go to get help. Like everything that we need is at our fingertips.
Absolutely.
But it's almost as if I let somebody know what's wrong with me, then something's wrong with me.
Yes.
So
you better say that.
The problem is when we don't let someone, a professional someone, let me make sure I emphasize that, a trained professional, let them know that I am dealing with something and it is becoming unmanageable for me.
Yes. Correct.
And
correct.
Help me figure out how to work this thing out. And also knowing that you're not the only person that's out there struggling with this thing. So therefore, you are not alone. I think that if people could be more transparent and be more intentional about the healing process, then I think on the opposite side of that, that gives other people permission to know, wow, they went through that. That's the same thing I'm experiencing.
Right.
I could get that help too.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We as humans, as people, We are more apt to jump for help or seek help if someone else has done the same thing. If we've seen it modeled in front of us, or if we've seen results from someone else, we say, okay, well, if they did it, I can do it too. If they got help, I can get help too. But when we feel like we're out there by ourselves, We feel like no one else is listening to us. And we start listening to those voices that you're the only one. Mm-hmm. You're the only one. Then we won't do it. We won't do it. You guys are bringing it, man. You guys are bringing it. I told y'all this was going to be good. I told you this was going to be. They bringing it. They bringing it. Man, I'm still trying to get past and wrap up what you guys were saying from the very beginning. When you, what you were dropping off, Rakita, and what you dropping off, Shalisha, this is incredible. Generational secret, man. That hit hard.
Yeah,
that hit hard.
We carry a lot of things, and like Rakita was saying, sometimes we feel alone, and sometimes as family members, we enable that feeling of you are alone or you are the only one, because Rakita has this saying that I love, like, you got to be real to heal.
So enough.
And sometimes family members aren't real so that the rest of the family can heal. Like, I have depression and I get sad sometimes. So when our children start saying, well, mama, I feel sad, or daddy, I feel
sad.
Well, I've experienced that and this is how I overcame it. But we make people feel like they are alone and they're the only one, because I heard on one of your podcasts about that imposter syndrome.
Oh yeah.
We want to hide it. We don't want to be real. And so we make people feel alone.
And it would help our children, mm-hmm. the next generation. If your child come to you and say, hey, you know, sometimes I feel sad and I don't know why. Babe, let me tell you something. I know why. Let me help you out here. You talk to them. Mm-hmm. So it's not going on to the next year. So that secret gets exposed. That secret gets dragged to the light. Rakita, you said, so you can tell the right people.
Yes.
Tell the right people that something's not right with me. I mean, if you don't, they're going to find out anyhow. It's going to come out anyway. When we tell someone a secret, we want them to hide something. Mm-hmm. A secret is what you hide. When you have your passcode to your phone. It's a secret code to your phone. You're hiding what's in there. It may not be anything sensitive, but it's yours. You know, when you have a passcode to your email, it's you're trying to hide your email from wandering eyes, whether it's sensitive information or not. But when we tell someone something that's a secret, we're asking them to hide something. That's what we're doing. We're asking them to hide something, whether it's a surprise party. You know, don't tell nobody we're going to throw them a surprise party. Or something we're planning. Let's shed some light, though. I kind of want to shed some light on the hidden part, on that part that we hide, because you both have been hitting that mark about things that have been kept secret, things that we hide. Let's shed some light on the hidden struggles that individuals face, because a lot of people who are dealing with not just mental health but mental illness that you brought out, Rakita, has been hidden, and they had to face these things that you brought a good segue to this. They feel like they had to face it all by themselves, mm-hmm. and they're fighting these hidden battles. They're in this corner. They're in this room. They're isolated from everybody else. When it's a holiday, we throw them in a room. We give them a plate and let them eat. Or one person go in there and feed them. Well, go on. You take the plate and feed Junebug. And you can, he'll let you feed them. And then it's a hidden secret. It's just a hidden. And this person inside has this battle going on inside them, and this war's going off in them, and they're not armed and they're not equipped to handle the fight that's going on inside. Listen, I don't know if you're listening. Have you ever felt like you've been in a fight that you just ill-equipped to handle? You've come up against something and you looked at something, man, I don't know if I can fight that. And that's what these people are dealing with. So Lisa, this is for you. I gotta get you away on this first. How can keeping a secret like this, you fighting this stuff every day, you wake up, you're fighting it. Every day, throughout the day, you're dealing with something that nobody else wants to know about, nobody else wants to hear about. How can keeping a secret about our mental health and mental illness add to the fight and become a detriment to the person that's keeping the secret and those around them?
Well, I think you have internal conflict. And so it's like, do I hold it? Do I share it? And like Rakita was saying, I have to admit that something may be wrong with me, and I don't want to admit that something's wrong. And I think people struggle with the internal conflict of it, and we allow our family, and our family members are kind of validating it and keeping us in shame.
Right. Wow. They're doing what?
Keeping us in shame, making us feel ashamed that we're hurting, ashamed that something is not right, because it's like, shh, be quiet. Don't, you're slip hanging. That's my grandma term. You're slip hanging. Yeah. We don't want anybody to know that our slip is hanging and we have an internal conflict and we internally war. And what that brings is anger, resentment, and people then can have some regret because pressure busts pipes. And the more that people carry pain, they're going to explode and it's going to be exposed. And sometimes, you know, people take their own lives. And then the family is left angry, bitter, and they feel regret that they didn't do anything.
Because you didn't do anything.
Because we knew that this person had some issues going on, but we wanted to sweep it under the rug because we didn't want to embarrass the family. We didn't want the family to be shamed. We wanted to continue to look good for people. And, you know, dealing with internal conflict on whether I need to share it or not keeps people bound. And it keeps them holding on to burdens that they don't have to bear. Because there are people, like Rakita said, that are equipped to handle it. You know, we went to school, got student loans. We can handle it.
I'm paying my student loans so I can help you.
Right. Like, I can handle it. It's not too heavy for me. Like, I'm equipped to help you deal with the internal conflict and to help the family deal with it. The family get past the shame and not feeling embarrassed.
Wow. Well, I think that really adds to, you know, a lot of things, because when we talk about things being a detriment to that person, now their anxiety is higher, their stress is higher, you know, and the condition, and here's the thing, if it's a condition in which it's a non-verbal mental illness, meaning the person can't verbally communicate, but they are communicating, so let's make sure we understand that they are communicating, just not verbally. But if it's a non-verbal mental illness that they have and they deal with, it's worse because now the situation becomes worse because no one really wants to take them to their doctor's appointments. No one really wants to pursue any alternative means to help them. And no one wants to pursue any alternative methods to help with their treatment because it's the just give me the pills so they can be quiet. Well, give me something so they can sleep through the night.
Right.
Well, they can't talk anyhow. Let me tell you something. They are always talking.
Yes.
They're always speaking, whether it's verbal or not. You're always talking. Listen, your body language always talks. It never shuts up. From the moment you get up to the moment you sleep, your body is always talking. But because they are, we ignore everything that they're saying. We ignore every word that their body is communicating. And you are nailing that, Shalisha. The family just don't want to be embarrassed. Family just don't want to be embarrassed. I ain't going to tell nobody. We going to look bad. Baby, everybody already know.
They do.
Show me.
And they talking about it.
Yeah. We see June but once a month. We go ahead of that appointment. That's it. Well, everybody know what's up. Quit praying at this point. Rakita, this is wild, man. This is good. That there are all types of discrimination, all kinds of discrimination. Whether it be because you're discriminated just because you're a woman, or whether because you're discriminated because of your race or your color, your ethnicity or your beliefs, there's all types of discrimination and disparages that goes on. Explain if you will, how the discrimination of individuals with mental illnesses and mental health issues lend a hand, if you will, in a person's hidden struggles?
Well, one thing I will say is that society has gotten much better when it comes to assisting people who have disabilities, whether it's a physical disability, a mental disability, you know, whether they're visually impaired. Like, mm-hmm. society has gotten much better than that. But there is still a almost like a stain mm-hmm. that we're still trying to wash out. That people put on mental illness.
Right, right.
And that's where, you know, that's that ugly word, stigma.
Yep.
And, you know, stigma, you know, we, in defining it, it is a negative social attitude that shames people who have a mental or emotional disability, and it kind of prevents them from even seeking the help that they
wow.
want to get. You know, for example, Shalisha and I, we also work in the correctional field.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, one of the things that I say all the time, anytime you work in a field of work, of service or anything, mm-hmm. that is a high stress environment, the one thing, you know, they always talk about, you know, keep yourself healthy, but we should really put an emphasis on mental stability.
Right.
Because what happens is, you know, it's almost as if someone says, hey, I'm struggling right now, I'm stressed, you know, I just feel like I'm on edge. It's almost as if people feel like they have to, they can't talk Damn. About that part of the
wow.
pressure that life and jobs and just has on you, because then people feel like, oh, well, they're unstable, they can't work, you know. But
right, right, right.
What happens is it forces a person into the darkness, or, you know, they don't want that light to be shed on that issue.
Correct.
But like I tell people all the time, even in my work environment, I say, but if they told you you had cancer, you want that light on it, because you need to be, you, right. you need to go get your treatment.
Come on, come
if
on.
If they told you that, say you know, it. You've got diabetes or hypertension, you're going to be, look, dude, I got to take off today because, you know, my blood pressure up.
My why sugar high. You,
why can't you say, hey, I've got a lot of stuff going on right now, and if yeah. I'm going to be productive in my work environment, I need to take a mental health day.
Say it, yes. say
you
it.
Know, and it's funny because I jokingly say it at work. Sometimes I'll be like, look, I'm going to be off next week because I'm taking me a mental health week. I'm gonna, because if mentally I'm not right,
nothing else will be.
I can't be right for you physically. I can't show up. Like, I'm right. there in body, but mm-hmm. my mind is not processing what it is that I'm supposed to do. And how can we effectively serve or do what it is that we're supposed to do if mentally we're sick?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so I think that that is the main thing that plays into the stigma, the discrimination. Right. Like, these are the things that people are afraid of. And it all comes back to the word fear, or to the words fear, shame.
Yes.
Fear and shame. We'll just go with those two. Mm-hmm. And the realization mm-hmm. is if we could show that you're not in this alone, you're not the only person experiencing
exactly. it. Exactly.
It opens the door for more people to get the help that they need. And so therefore we can be more productive. You know, I think about sometimes in private practice when people come up and, you know, we're doing our assessments and we start yes. to explore family history.
Yes.
And we'll be like, you know, is there any family history of like depression, anxiety?
Right, right.
And it's like, they've heard the words, but they don't know what it means. So they'll spit it back to us. You know, I had an uncle who, you know, he used to just go off on everybody all the time. You know, he'd be straight with me.
Yes.
He'd tan stuff up. And I'm saying to myself, that sounds like
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
How he was, okay. And so, but then they're telling me they're experiencing some of the same symptoms, and yes. I'm able to put a diagnosis on that.
Come on,
and
say
so
it.
The thing is, if we just learn that there are diagnoses that goes towards some of those things that we're experiencing, you know, that's not just, oh, my granddaddy did that, my uncle did that, my cousin did that. Okay, so that shows you. It's in the family.
It's a pattern.
It does not have to stay there. There's treatment for it. There are trained professionals who could not only help you identify what it is, can help you if you need medication management, but they could also help you through the steps to learn new behaviors to deal with said symptoms. And then this is my other thing. People are always expecting a quick fix.
That part right there.
There is no quick fix in any type of
illness. Overnight.
No. And so I don't understand why people feel like that there should be a quick fix to matters of the mind. That's what we got to get away from. There's no magic pill that you can take and automatically your psychosis goes away. There's no quick pill that you could take and automatically your depression or your anxiety goes away. The medication is there to assist with treating the symptoms, but when it's all said and done, you've got to get with us trained professionals who have those student loans that we got to help you process even the root of those issues, because everything has a root to it. Even physically, when we have certain illnesses in our body, there is a root to it. There are so many chronic illnesses that are linked to lifestyles. You know, if I'm a smoker, if I'm a drinker, if I'm overweight, like there are so many chronic illnesses that are linked to things. And it's the same thing with our mental illness.
Yes.
So we've got to just even acknowledge that mental illness is a true illness so that we can seek out the help that we need.
Y'all, I don't know if y'all caught what I caught. She said, it's in the family, but it doesn't have to stay there.
Yes, she did. That's a Selah.
That's a Selah moment right there. It's in the family, but it doesn't have to stay in the family.
Yes.
The secret can start in one generation. Someone has to make their mind up. I'm telling this secret.
Yes.
And this is where this secret stops. Mm-hmm. I'm not. And man, it's in the family. And you talk about diagnosis, Rakita. And when we hear the word diagnosis, we get afraid. We get this unconscious bias about the word bias. A bias about, well, it's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. A diagnosis is a starting point. That's where it starts. It doesn't have to end at the diagnosis. Yeah, let me say it again. It doesn't have to end with your diagnosis. I know you may have been diagnosed with something, but it doesn't have to end there. That's just a start. That's just the identifier. It doesn't end there because you got that diagnosis. It doesn't have to start there, in there. It's in the family, but it doesn't have to stay in the family. We're talking about, go ahead.
I want to say one more thing because it connects to what you were just saying. Because a lot of times, you know, society and stigma has made us believe that because you have a mental illness, you cannot be a productive citizen.
Say that.
Yes.
Let me tell you, there are people out there who have paranoid schizophrenia, who have bipolar, who have every mental illness up under the sun, but they manage their medication. They go to therapy, they practice self-care, and they are leading productive lives.
Productive lives.
People behind the scenes who are making legislative decisions.
Exactly.
Who are our, you know, our judges, our attorneys, who are our teachers in schools. It is because they are taking the necessary steps to take care of themselves so that they can be productive. So that's the first stigma that we need to break. Yep. There are people who have mental illness who are still leading productive lives and making a difference in the lives of people. And mm-hmm. the thing is, they're not afraid to open their mouths.
That's right.
And be visible and be transparent, because I think that's the key to a lot of it. If people can see people living with mental illness in productive roles,
uh-huh.
it will take away or help break down the stigma that, oh, it, you know, they crazy. If y'all don't stop calling people crazy.
Yes, the language.
Yeah, the whole language of it, yeah.
Like, it is an illness. Look, I suffer from, I'm not going to say suffer, but I have periods where I deal with depression.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I have to do to manage that. And it's mm-hmm. called managing it and not allowing it to manage me.
So I
like to say sometimes, I have a mental illness, but my mental illness does not have me.
That's right.
That's good.
And so, you know, it's about being transparent. Am I embarrassed about it? Uh-uh. Because guess what? I have issues. But
exactly.
my issues don't have me.
Say that.
Right.
And, you know, even in working with individuals when I do counseling, I tell them all the time, look, this therapist, she got a therapist because she got issues.
Yes.
But the thing is acknowledging that, because, again, that gives others permission to say, it's okay to not be okay for a moment, because eventually I'm going to be okay.
Exactly. I like that. I've been saying that for a long time. It is okay not to be okay for that moment. It is all right. I promise you. And we're talking about secrets. We're talking about mental illness and mental health being such a huge secret, a taboo thing that you don't even talk about at work. If you talk about it at work, well, they're not going to give you a promotion. You know, you talk about it at home, nobody wants to invite you. We talk about a secret. And when I think about a secret, when you think about a secret, gosh, a secret is one of those things that have power over you. It has control of you. Hey, listen, let me help you out, guys. Look deep in the camera. A secret is controlling.
Yes.
A secret has power over you. Okay? But the only power that any secret holds is when it remains a secret.
Mm.
The only power a secret, any secret has over you is when it remains a secret. When you tell it to the right people, it loses its grip. It's like sand in your hand, baby. It runs through your hand. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. power of a secret is in its name, secret. The power it has is in its name. And the only power that any secret has is when it remains a secret. And when it remains a secret from those who can help.
Yes.
When it remains a secret from those who can help. Now, once someone who can help is made aware, like my guest, a therapist, a counselor, anyone, once a secret is made aware to someone who can help, then it loses all power that it has over you. There is a pathway. There is a pathway to go from shame to strength. Yeah, you may have feel like you've been alone, but there is a pathway to go from shame to strength. Shalisha, I got to hear you on this one. I got to, this pathway going from shame to strength. You both talk to individuals. When you see people, you don't see them at their best all the time.
No.
You don't always see them at their best moments. You don't see them at their best light. You're not meeting the best version of them. Mm-hmm. And you're coaching or talking people who you're trying to help them on this pathway to go from shame to strength. What are some steps along this pathway that can help guide an individual or that you speak to people about to go from shame to strength?
Well, shame involves the level of darkness and being dark and hiding and not being upfront or transparent. So I always encourage people to speak up and say how you feel, even if you don't know how you feel.
Oh, that's good.
Because even if you say, well, I just don't know how I feel. As a therapist, I can handle you saying, I don't know how I feel, other than you saying, oh, I'm good.
I'm great. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's good.
Yeah. And so when you say that, I just don't know how I feel, then we can navigate through those emotions because you really do know how you feel. You're angry. Mm-hmm. And we help you identify, well, I feel angry. I feel ashamed. I feel resentful. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm just not in a good place. Really like speaking up. And I am very, I talk a lot with my patients about being spiritually fed. And that's totally different than religion. We take religion out of it. What feeds your spirit? Who are the people that helps to brighten your light and don't dim your light?
Oh, that's good.
So getting around those people that help encourage you along your journey, because when you're on that pathway going from shame to strength, you run into stumbling blocks.
Always. Yeah.
So if you've already Googled who your counselor is or your therapist or your life coach or the people that help feed your spirit, they're going to help you overcome those speed bumps. They're going to encourage you along the way to say, hey, keep going. Yeah, it's painful right here. Let's deal with it so we can move forward. Something else that I talk about when you're talking about this pathway from shame to strength, being kind to yourself, like positive self-talk, affirmations, like not talking down on yourself. Because you've already thought it already, and some of us have already said it out of our mouth, like, I can't get past this.
Say that.
I'm so different. I'm crazy. Like sometimes we say that within ourselves, like,
oh yeah,
I'm crazy. I'm not right. But changing the way that you talk to yourself, Rakita, I always say this thing about giving yourself grace.
Come on now, Rakita.
You get me with that sometimes. Like, allow yourself to not be okay today. But like on that journey, giving yourself grace and pacing yourself, it's not a race. It's one day at a time, one moment at a time. Like, just because Shirley over there is feeling good and living life, you and Shirley on two different paths. Y'all paths look totally different. Your journey looks totally different. You are not facing the same things that she's facing. Y'all may have similarities, but your road and where you're going, your destiny looks different than hers.
Girl, Shalisha. You dropped some bars on that one. You can put some music to that. You drop some bars.
Y'all started it with this diagnosis, because I'm saying we diagnose everything in our life. We go to the doctor, we get a diagnosis, we go take our car to Express or change their diagnosis. And it's like, why are we afraid of certain diagnoses when everything has a diagnosis? When your credit card don't work, we diagnose that your account is negative. Everything has a diagnosis. Like, you don't have no money in the bank. That's the diagnosis. Like, everything that we encounter in life has a diagnosis.
Yeah. Do you understand? Everything begins there. It starts there. Remember, we said that it starts there, but it doesn't have to remain there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put up some stuff you said. I'm going to put this in chat so everybody can see it. I'm going to have it come across the screen. This is what you said right here. Pathways from shame to strength. Number one, speak up for yourself. Don't be afraid to speak up. Say it. Rakita, I was one of Rakita's classes, and one of the things Rakita said, you have got to put a name to what you're feeling.
Yes.
You've got to start putting a name to how you feel. Even if you don't know how it is, put a name to it. She said, start journaling. Start saying it out loud. But you have to speak up for yourself. Even if there's no one else listening to you, you got to say it to yourself so you can identify it. Number two, feed your spirit. What is feeding you? What are you taking on? What are you around every day? What do you listen to? Even the music, the TV shows. What if you already know you're feeling kind of down and depressed? Why are you watching something sad on TV? It's only going to add to it. You already know you have anger issues and anger problems, and those things that come triggering those. Why are you watching something that's going to make you mad? Why are you watching videos of people fighting? Now you feeling like you want to fight. Now you've triggered that thing inside you that makes you want to fight. And like she said, be kind to yourself. Show yourself some grace. Rakita and I did an episode on that about showing yourself some grace. And when you did said that, I had to laugh at Rakita because it reminded me of that. And one thing she talked about was being kind to yourself. Speak kindly to yourself. Some very good steps about this path from shame to strength. Rakita, come on. I know I got to hear you. Some pathways from shame to strength. Talk to us.
I mean, probably most of my answer will echo what she said, but, you know, the first part is acknowledgement. Mm. You know, acknowledging that there is something there.
Say that. Say that.
Number two is seeking.
Yes.
Seeking out the sources that can help you and not continue to hurt you. Mm. You know, Shalisha was talking about, you know, the spiritual part of it. And so that's the seeking part. Like, find things that boost your energy and not drain your energy. Mm-hmm. Find things that feed that part of you that needs to grow and not continue to kill or hinder that part of you that needs to grow. You know, so seek out those things that you need and then walk in it.
Yes.
You know, walk in, this is what's going on. This is my journey, but it's going to lead me to a destination. If I stay on course, if I stay on task, because like Shalisha said, everybody's journey is different. You know, never did I think in my life that the things that brought me the most pain would be the journey that I take to help others heal.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
And so, again, that's why I say you never know how just being transparent about things that hurt you, but that also helped you to heal, gives others the grace and the permission to do the same thing.
So what we deal with can be the answer to somebody's prayers. That's what somebody else is looking for, a way out.
We can you said, though, it's the things that we deal with. Because where we go wrong is we try to sit in it and hope that we sit long enough that nobody will notice it or it will go away. And see, that's one of the things that I've started saying it earlier, but I backtrack. But that's one of the things that Shalisha and I see on the daily with us working in the corrections field. Mm-hmm. A lot of times on the people that we get into our institutions,
right,
their themselves or their families have for so long tried to ignore the elephant in the room that what happens is the elephant gets so sick that it literally starts to die.
Wow.
And what happens is we didn't get the treatment to treat the elephant when it was just the little elephant cub.
Right. Now
it's a big, massive creature that is unmanageable.
My goodness.
And society, and sometimes, unfortunately, because they have grown tired of it, they don't know what else to do. At least if I know if they're in jail, I don't have to deal with it. And society has turned mental illness into a criminal illness, and it's not. Yes. And, you know, and that's where it hurts me. That's why I speak so loudly when it comes to mental health, when it comes to mental wellness, when it comes to mental illness, when it comes to substance use disorders, because what I see so often is that it goes unacknowledged.
Right.
And so then therefore it gets out of control and it ends people up in the criminal justice system.
Correct.
And we don't get locked up because we have cancer. And I know I keep throwing
Say that. Hypertension.
You know, we don't get locked up for those things, but we see like right now the number of incarcerated individuals who have serious mental illnesses is mind-blowing. Right. I wish that I had prepared myself just to give the statistics, but it is mind-blowing. And the thing is, these serious mental illnesses, the number of comorbidity diseases and rates that follow behind them, the lifespan expectancy is shorter on people who have the serious mental illnesses. And we're and like I said, people don't know what to do with them. Families are tired of the fight and the struggle, and they rather see them in jail than try to get them help on the front end because they're ashamed or they don't want anybody to know. People, if y'all don't hear anything else that I say this evening, the things that the level that we allow it to get to could have been prevented.
Yes.
If we do what we need to do on the front end. I like the fact that Shalisha use the diagnostic on a car. If that little light come on in your car, you going somewhere to figure out what that means.
Yes.
If you're sitting in a room with somebody and they rocking and start talking to themselves, please get them somewhere to see where the rocking comes
from.
That
red light going off, baby.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, that was my soapbox for the evening.
No, you just because think about it. When that red light comes on, Shalisha, when that red light comes on, you go to the mechanic, go to the shop, and they say, how can we help you today? I don't know. I just know a red light came on. It came on. I don't know why it came on. I changed the oil last week. I just got the tires changed. I just had the water put in there. I don't know what's going on. You don't, and that's how this, when you see a therapist, that red light has come on. You don't know how to say it. You can't put it into words. Just show up and say, baby, something ain't right. A red light is flashing. I don't know if I feel some kind of way. Some days I feel like this. Some days I feel. You may not be able to describe why your red light is flashing, but your red light is flashing. You make it. You can listen, and you can sit there in that car long enough till you no longer see it. You become blind. That don't stop the light from flashing just because you're ignoring it. Just because you sit there and say, well, I'm fine, everything is good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be great, I'm all right. That light is still flashing. You may not be able to describe exactly how you feel, but your light is still flashing. And when somebody else gets in the car with you, they say, child, first thing they say, don't you know your light flashing? Are we going to break down? I want to make it to the store. I want to make it back home.
You running out of gas?
I know. What's going on? And that's how it is with people. We get in relationships with people and the red light flashing, and we won't tell them, baby, your light is flashing. Are we going to make it in this relationship? Are we going to make it on this job together? Are we going to make it on this thing, on this goal we're trying to do? Are we going to make it on this business venture? Baby, your light's flashing. I don't know about all that. each of you work in the mental health field in some capacity doing what you're doing. And I'm sorry. I just had a funny image in my mind of just people getting in the car and that light just be going off. Man, you can't even concentrate on the drive. You be like, no, dude, pull over.
So, you're nervous. My tie light on right now.
I can't, man. But each of you work in this capacity. I'm sorry, man. It just hit me that it just going off and we don't pay attention to it. But each of you work in this capacity. And what are some things that you have seen that have changed, though? What are some changes that you've seen that do empower individuals to become better equipped to talk about this well-kept secret? What are some things that you've seen that have changed, like use of technology? Rakita, earlier you mentioned you can Google search everything. And Shalisha, you also mentioned, hey, you guys, you can look up technology here. You know, social media is everywhere. What are some things that you've seen that had changed when it comes to mental health and mental illness that have really begun to empower people, like the use of technology, AI? What are some things that either one of you have seen that have helped?
I can start. Perfect example, what you're doing right now.
Yes.
You know, using platforms.
Yes.
To give change a voice. Mm. To acknowledge that this is something that's really happening in the world, mm-hmm. not just to particular people, but in everybody's lives. So just the fact that people are being more transparent.
Right, right.
The fact that people are normalizing, or I should say familiarizing.
Right.
That mental illness is truly a chronic medical condition. And just being open to the change, like I said, you can, anything that you want to know, and some stuff you don't need to know is right there at your fingertips. And all you got to do is peck away. And so, you know, just the fact that we are talking about the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Is the starting point. And what we have to do is just keep talking about it. And so I'm just appreciative that society is to the point now that we are talking more about mental illness and we are learning ways to become mentally healthy.
Yes.
Wow. Absolutely. Shalisha, what are some things that you have seen that kind of, that you can see, well, they've changed this, and this has changed that to how to empower individuals who are dealing with this so they no longer feel like it's a secret.
I think social media, like Rakita was saying, has really brought it to the forefront. And a lot of celebrities are talking about how they were struggling. And then, you know, sad to say, a lot of celebrities taking their own lives are bringing it to the forefront.
Oh, wow.
And like she was saying, like platforms like what you have, making people feel okay to not be okay.
Right.
And knowing they can talk about it and there's help available. And even I've noticed more churches or more spiritual leaders are talking about it and
right.
not taboo in the church. And judges are now saying, well, okay, let me see how I can put this person in treatment versus jail. So I think like putting it out there with using platforms, how, you know, you're doing tonight and churches getting involved, spiritual leaders getting involved, community leaders getting involved is what is causing the change and making it not so taboo. And social media, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, but everything's out there and it makes you search and say, okay, is there hemp in the area? And then it makes people more aware, like, wow, how could we have stopped this?
Correct.
Or,
correct.
You know, mass shootings, you know, that gets, you know, has gotten people attention. And so I think social media and us being more aware that, hey, there's something not right. And where can we help our family or those that we love seek help?
Correct. Absolutely. It gets you. You start to realize there are more available resources around you than you
yes.
think. You know, I'm not just isolated, I'm not just in this box. There are more resources around you. Both of you, I know you do a great work here in Birmingham. Where can each of you, though? I know, Rakita, you have a private practice. You have a private practice. But where can each of you be contacted? Because I know there are people who are listening, and people, you don't have to feel ashamed. We talked about that already. So yeah. We throw that, we already brought the secret to the light. So we already talked about it. So where can each of you be contacted for some help when they feel some help might be needed?
I do private practice as well, and so I can be reached at rbmcounseling.com. That's rbmcounseling.com. And my phone number is 205-530-5720.
What's that number again?
205-530-5720.
Let me get my person to type that in. Oh, that was funny. All right, there we go. Got you there. Perfect. Let me see. I got that right. All right, so this is you right here, Shalisa. Am I correct?
Yes.
There we go. Fantastic. There you go, guys. Shalisa, that's her information right there on the screen, and it is rbmcounseling.com, 205-530-5720. Again, rbmcounseling.com, 205-530-5720. And Rakita, where can you be contacted? I think I got your website right here.
Yes, that's correct. And my phone number is 205-775-7718. And I am at Second Chances Better Choices.
Got a lot of sevens in there. How you pull that off?
Because, you know, seven is my number. That's it my is. Life story. You know, I born 7777. And so when I was getting my number, I said, I need them sevens because that means this. I'm a complete package in my life, in my practice, and everything I do. You come to me, you get the complete, and we going to be real.
Yes.
All gas, no brakes.
What's that number again? With all them sevens in it?
205-775-7718.
Oh, wow. 775-7718.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me tell my person to type that in. Type that in. There you go. So they got it typed in there. There you go. They're pretty good. I like them. They're pretty good people. Guys, thank you both for taking the time to be here today. I absolutely mean that. You both were amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, if you feel like you do need some assistance, you do need some help, the shame, the fear, the secrecy, we talked about it. We drug it to the light today so you don't have to feel like you're alone and you don't feel like you have to do this all by yourself. Guys, according to an article from the Worldwide Mental Health Foundation, mental illness affects an estimated 950 million people worldwide. So that's not a secret. Something that big can't be a secret. And it is the leading cause of disability across all age groups. Mm-hmm. In addition, mental health issues are the leading causes of suicide. Shalisa, you brought that up earlier. That people were killing themselves over things like this. And they're also the leading cause of suicide, accounting for over 800,000 deaths per year. Mm. So something that's causing that much impact to the world, not just your neighborhood. You think this is something about your neighborhood? This is about the whole world. This entire world has been impacted by it. But there is a pathway from shame to strength. I'll put those on the screen here. There's a pathway from shame to strength. There are ways that we can walk out this pathway so we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be in fear. There are ways that what has been your shame can now become your strength. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for being part of the show. Guys, it's about that time. And as always, it's been a real blast. Listen, don't forget to tune in right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can tune in on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and so many more. We got to get out of here, but as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. We out of here. We gotta go, y'all.
Endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.